Hypnus is the Greek god of sleep, and Endymion is one of Hypnus's lovers. Endymion is a mortal who Hypnus falls in love with, and then he curses Endymion to sleep forever so that Hypnus can always look upon him. Those names were initially placeholder names because I have always taken way too long to come up with names. So I was like, cool, I'm just going to give them these mythological names that match the characters, and then later I'll come up with something different, and then they're stuck, and I fell in love with the characters being called that. So that's where that came from.
Your play is obviously revolving around this relationship between Hypnos and Endymion and navigating Hypnos's chronic illness within that. Mm-hmm. How hard is it to engage with that sort of topic? How hard is it to write that?
Personally, as a writer, it's not a thing that I found difficult to engage with, at least in part because a lot of it is based on experiences that I've had in my life. So my best friend, my housemate, has similar disabilities to the ones that Hypnus has. And I want to be very clear that the play is not about us, because we're not a couple, and we're also not nearly as unhealthy as these two people are. But that was the kind of catalyst for me wanting to bring a more nuanced portrayal of disability to the stage and a more complex portrayal of disability to the stage. So in terms of writing it, the difficulty came from kind of engaging with my own fears and insecurities. Once you bring the audience into that quotient, the difficult part becomes that you are putting something in front of an audience who is used to seeing a very specific and very limited representation of disability. They're used to seeing either disabled characters who are tragedies or disabled characters who are inspirations. They're not used to complex disabled characters. And then you find yourself having to kind of work around what an audience will expect that character to do.
Why do you think it's important to have a queer disabled character play a queer disabled character?
Well, I mean, in the same way that I have for the past couple of years been a strong proponent for trans actors being cast as trans characters, I think it's important when there's so little and, again, so limited representation of disability on stage and in film and just in the arts, and there are so few kind of opportunities for disabled actors to get any roles. It's very important for me to use my art as a minority theatre maker to kind of promote and assist and kind of bring forward other minority artists. And there's also the fact that, to a certain extent, an able-bodied actor or an able-bodied artist can't necessarily understand the complexity of playing a disabled character or kind of existing in that body. I should also add that Daniel is a phenomenal actor, and like, I would have cast him in a heartbeat regardless.
You write quite genuine characters. You write very personal experiences. How do you, you know, come up with these really genuine characters that people connect to so well, but also have these horribly complicated lives?
It probably helps that I'm often writing about experiences that I have had to some degree. I always had to do that thing when I'm talking about my work where I'm like, it's not about me. I think where it comes from for me is that I can't, you know, motivate myself to finish a play unless I am interrogating something in myself, unless I'm asking myself a difficult question that I don't know how to answer about me or about my life or about the people in my life. There's just no motivation to finish it. And it's that thing where, like, if it's a difficult question for you, you can guarantee that at least one person, if not many people in your audience, will also find that a difficult question. The most interesting thing to me as a writer is really messy, really human people doing and saying messy human things. Like, I'm not interested in good and bad and right and wrong. I'm just really interested in filling a space with a whole person and then letting the audience relate to that person as much or as little as they can.
The works in the New Fit season are responding to or inspired by plays in the main season.
Yes.
And this is responding to The Judas Kiss.
Yep.
Can you tell us a little bit about that connection?
When I got offered a position on the New Fits program, essentially what happened was I was given a play, I read that play, and then I responded to it. So I actually didn't read all of The Judas Kiss before I started writing. I read the first act, and then I was in Bundanon for the ATYP National Studio, and just happened to, in an exercise that Angus Cerini was running, come up with these two characters. And I was like, oh, that's my response to The Judas Kiss. It just kind of tumbled out of nowhere for me. The image that then came out of The Judas Kiss that then led to this show is just that image of two men in a room waiting for one of them to have to leave and kind of knowing that when that person leaves, it's going to change both of their lives in ways that they have no control over. I actually saw The Judas Kiss finally the other night. obviously not knowing what happened in the second act because I'd never read it, it was interesting watching it and kind of seeing that the way that that story ends is the ending that I had written to my own play. So, that, yeah, the programs have been really interesting in that sense, just to kind of see the oneness with which plays get written.